Welcome to this installment of Daily Bread with Jam, a Holy Spirit You Channel podcast. We are a Whosoever Will channel, so thank you for joining me here today. Regardless of where you are in your faith, regardless of where you are in your walk, our goal is really just to be a place where you can get the information you need, where you can be encouraged, where you can be challenged, where you can just grow closer, use the information hopefully to grow closer or to move closer or to be even more fervent in your seeking the face of the Lord. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and seek my face, then pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. We know that that has been fulfilled in and through Christ, but it is still a good reminder of what we need to do to be able to draw near to God who has drawn near to us. That being said, today we are talking about the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption. So let's hop right into it. As you know, the whole concept of the family of God has to do with our adoption in and through Jesus Christ. Now, in terms of reading, particularly in the King James, which is where I stay most of the time, it's not 100%, but it might sound like it, the spirit of adoption, it says God sent, for God so loved the world, he sent, he gave his only begotten. Then after the crucifixion, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, after Pentecost, he is referred to as the firstborn. So catch that difference. It sounds like it's semantics, but it's not. It's very specific, and it's very strategic in terms of what God always does in and through Jesus Christ by the power of Holy Spirit is making the point that something has changed. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten that he might become the firstborn of. So in that statement, in that concept is the principle of adoption, the principle that by the work of Christ, that we have gained the advantage of also being joint heirs with him. Only begotten, the firstborn of, then he is the great high priest. We are priests and kings. He is heir. We are joint heirs. Not because of anything we did, though. Be clear about that. None of this. That statement, let's put it this way, that was determined before we existed. That was determined before we were manifested as human beings. That's not a decision he made because certain people were born at a certain time. That's a decision he made for all humanity who would exercise the measure of faith that we've all been given to believe in him and his substitutionary sacrifice on the cross and then agree to be led of Holy Spirit into all truth, thereby preparing the way of the Lord in and through them to bless all the families of the earth. The spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption. Firstborn, only begotten to firstborn. Now, as we come into this place, even with, I shared previously, hopefully you'll get a chance to hear it, but I'll recap some of it here. Our Father was not a prayer at the time that Jesus taught it to his disciples. His disciples include those of us who believe even today, except because we are in a different time, we are beyond the cross. And I don't mean beyond it like not meeting it. I mean in terms of time, the cross has already occurred. the work of the cross, the work of Christ on the cross has already occurred. So we're in a bit of a different situation when it comes to the Lord's Prayer. That's why we don't understand it, because, of course, we like to take things for granted. That is the human nature, the ego, all of those things. We want to work those things to our favor and to our benefit when we don't even have the capacity to do that because we did not create those things. However, God gave us free choice. Therefore, He will allow us to use that free choice. But He's also given us all the answers to the test. And every one of those answers in terms of eternal life, better life while we are in, still in this earthen vessel on the earth, is tied to believing in the work of Christ. That is everybody. That is that when I say we are a whosoever will, this is a whosoever will podcast, this is a whosoever will channel, then that means that the totality of what Christ did covers everybody, even those that don't believe. So we look at the behaviors now. Well, we like to look at other people's behaviors. We don't necessarily like to look at our own. At any rate, we look at the behaviors. This is what I'm talking to you about is a spiritual principle. Again, pivoting out of cursing into blessing means understanding the principles by which God operates and then aligning with those principles to be led into a life that is glorifying to God. So the practicality of it is when we are led spiritually, because we are spirit first, into living a life, a practical life, in all of our spiritually fueled, practical life, supernatural, natural life, the two working together to produce the fruit of the Spirit. He was the only begotten. Now He's the firstborn. Well, the firstborn of who? The firstborn of all who believe. The process of the cross explained in two words, only begotten to firstborn, tells you what He accomplished on the cross. Oh, that means if I'm firstborn, then that means there must be otherborn. Now, mind you, while there is a time frame in which people have believed, God does not consider those. So there isn't like the 177 millionth child. There is no birth order. There is the process of being born again because the playing field is leveled in Christ. It does not matter. Now, do we have to go through different processes and all of that? Yes, because of the context that He's placed us in. But we all have to go through the same process. You do not get born again into the family of God without coming in as an infant. You didn't step out of your mother's womb as an adult. This is why Nicodemus was puzzled. What? Born again? Nicodemus at the time was a wise, older. I don't know how old he was, but he was older, regarded for his wisdom. He's asking the question. He's scratching his head. What do you mean? Have you met me? I'm an adult. What are you talking about, born again, Jesus? And Jesus says, I'm imagining, okay, be very clear, that He just chuckled to Himself like He does. You must be born again. I'm telling you the principle. One day you'll get it, even now. One day you'll get the principle, He says. But I'm telling you, you have to be born again. Only begotten to firstborn. So I want to read this scripture. So even when Jesus is speaking of the teaching the Lord's Prayer, Lord, teach us how to pray. How do we get that power? So we're looking at outcomes. And I say we because we are still this day the disciples for those who believe. We can actually be in the presence of Jesus, which we always are because He's ever present. He's omniscient. He knows everything from beginning to end and everything in between, forward, backward, forward, and everything in between. He is everywhere and He is all powerful. So we, even though we dismiss Him from our presence, we are never out of His presence. He's always present. And once we learn to live like that, if that's what we truly believe, then we will begin, there will begin to be revelation in our lives about us, through us, that bring the restoration he intended, that bring the healing and the unity, that calm our emotions, that heal our spirits, souls, and bodies, that do those things once we understand that Christ is always present, even if we dismiss him. God is always present. You can't say God and not and but he doesn't know everything. You can't say God and he's afar off. If he was afar off, there would be no Jesus Christ. If there were Jesus Christ, there were no Jesus Christ, then we would not have salvation. If there weren't any salvation, what are we talking about? We wouldn't be here today. Don't diminish the weight. Just because you don't get it, just because I may not get it, just because we don't know everything, don't diminish the weight of really what is happening. Only begotten to firstborn. So when he's speaking to his disciples, they're looking for the outcomes like we do. We prefer the gift over the giver. They're looking for the outcomes. The outcomes are the gift, particularly, and really, there are a lot of things that God does through Christ by the power of his spirit that are gifts to us, but we don't realize they're gifts because our perception of gifts is different. I'm chief among them. Sometimes it's like, okay, give in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. And I'm thinking, really? Okay, if this is your will, so be it. Not necessarily understanding this outcome, right? So we don't understand, and there are things that we can't understand and won't understand until the appointed time. But the principles remain the same. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We know how to quote things real good. The problem is we're not living epistles. We're not living what we memorized. We want to have book and head knowledge. We want to flex our intelligence. But at the end of the day, he's talking about how we live, how we believe, how we think, and then how that influences our speech and our behavior. And all of that transformation, all of that development of spirit, soul, body congruence can only happen by the power of Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who is in Christ. Paul said, until Christ be formed in you. That means for every lie I need to repent of, then I need to ask, Holy Spirit, please replace it with the truth. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. So when I am speaking at some point in my life, what other people are getting from me, those I'm interacting with, is not me. It's Christ himself. I'm just the vessel. Same for you. If you have chaos in your life, you've got all of these things that you've been crying out to God for, don't just repent of the thing. Ask him to replace it with himself. Don't leave the house, so to speak, empty. That's a side note. We'll go into that another day. So we're talking about the spirit of adoption. So I'm going to read this scripture. The Lord's Prayer, or the Lord's principles regarding prayer, or the order of how to pray, is a recognition of some things as much as it is a request. Romans 8:15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The spirit of bondage is sin. That makes us seriously in need of healing. The question about us being delivered from bondage is answered by Christ, by the Father and the Son, through what I call the master covenant, where the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world to ensure deliverance from the spirit of bondage. The spirit of flesh, the spirit of carnality. What do you think Eve was enticed by in the garden? the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, the spirit of bondage. Now, we take that, and we want to operate in all of that thinking that we are free. But the Bible also says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So we have not experienced freedom and liberty in the way that we think until there is a spiritual deliverance out of the bondage that keeps us tied to things that bring death rather than life. And when I talk about death, I'm not necessarily talking about a physical death, spiritual death. That's what happened. Adam and Eve, when they left the garden, were very much still alive. However, their relationship with God was severed. That spiritual death, because if God formed, not if, since God formed humans from the dust of the earth, then breathed and made them living souls, then that means all of us then, just as the spiritual genealogy of sin passed from Adam and Eve, well, Adam primarily, down, then, and understand that that's a reproduction thing, that's not a blame thing. So check yourself if you're wondering why I said Adam. It's a study reproduction, follow where certain key things in our natural genealogy come from. So understand all of this. This is the crookedness, the bentness of our souls, because we want to take truth and bend it to suit us, when in fact the truth is the foundation of our deliverance. It's what makes our crookedness straight. So the Father and the Son already accounted for this. When I'm talking about death, I'm talking first and foremost, and I'll clarify if I'm not, about spiritual death, the thing that causes us to be separated from the life of God. And everyone wants to, or most everyone wants life, and they want, you know, power and money and all of these things. But the essence of who we are and who we're supposed to be, we can tell what we all are supposed to be by what Christ did for us. Meaning, and we did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, right? We want to be delivered out of fear, anxiety, depression, all of these horrible things that consume us at different times in our lives and in our processes. Yes, there's joy. There's all of these things to celebrate, but we don't even know how to celebrate, to be honest. Why? Because we are still tied to the spirit of bondage. We have not yet understood that our deliverance is not tied to anything but the work of Christ on the cross, which the Father put his stamp of approval on, for lack of a better term, when he sent the Spirit. In other words, if Christ's work were not complete, Holy Spirit would not have come, and he wouldn't have told us, one, that we need to be born again, two, that we have to be filled with the Spirit. It is a spiritual work that manifests in and through us to ensure that heaven is manifested on earth through us, that the work of Christ does not stop with us. I'm blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. We're not just supposed to be blessed. That's not the part we're supposed to be shouting about. We're supposed to be shouting. And to be honest with you, we're not even supposed to be recognizing it because we're prideful. We still have pride in us until the day we transition out of here. So in many ways, the Lord will use us to bless people in different ways, spirit, soul, or body, through giving or, something that we do to help edify someone else's life. He will not always allow us to see that. He will tell us to do things, but we may not know what that blessing is. So us being blessed is not the thing we're supposed to be. God determines that. But since we are blessed, which we know, I don't mean blessed, I'm walking around like I'm blessed and higher favored. Nope. We don't know that. All of us are. That's not a state of mind. That's not a mindset. That's not an affirmation. That is the principle. But understanding the principle means we also have to understand why the principle exists. So we can't take the principle and then dismiss the fact that it's an if-then proposition. You are blessed to the extent that you are a blessing. You are forgiven to the extent that you are forgiving. So the outcome is directly tied to what we believe and to our willingness to humble ourselves and repent and seek the face of God and ask Holy Spirit to lead us in the practicality of living this day-to-day life. The walk of faith is not a cakewalk. It's a process. For we have not, ye, in this, because I'm saying we, because we're now in, this was a teaching. It's still a teaching to a certain extent, but it's more to be a lifestyle, right? For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. God ensured that we didn't have to do that. What he also did was gave us free choice because he didn't want to mandate that. He didn't mandate it. He gave us free choice. And I know there are some that have problems with quote-unquote mandates. We're not getting into that. That's not what I'm talking about. Because even at our best, there is good among us. And there are some things that are necessary. What causes us not to be able to recognize truth is the fact that there's not truth in us. Many of us think that because we exist and we can make choices, that we're making the right choices. No, we're making choices every moment of our day. And tell me that your choices are 100% right. So part of the humility is understanding, well, I don't know. One, I don't know everything. Two, I'm not going to know everything. Three, I'm not God. No, we are glad for of that, but neither are you. So let me sit down for a minute and wait for the Lord. Wait for him, wait on him while I wait for him, because I'm not sure this is the truth. And so many of us not only have been deceived, but we have deceived ourselves into thinking certain things because we don't understand the primary principle that God not only saw this coming, he also provided a way in and through his, at the time, only begotten. Why? Because everything hadn't happened yet that needed to happen. Jesus also had a process. And the proof that he completed his process, as I said a few minutes ago, was when Holy Spirit was poured out, the day of Pentecost. And so from that moment, we have had the opportunity, I'm saying collectively as human beings, those that were alive at the time and those that have lived ever since, we have had the opportunity individually and collectively to receive the power of the Spirit, which allows us then to lead a life in the natural by a supernatural force, Holy Spirit, that not only manifests blessing for others, but also heals us as we go, brings healing and restoration in the fruit of the Spirit, grows up the tree, plants the tree. So Jesus Christ, for a seed cannot reproduce except to fall into a ground and into the ground and die. The first seed was Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. What do we think he's talking about? So then as we mature, then we are to be able, we are producing fruit, no question. But what fruit are we producing? Of what spirit? He's already told us there's two, life and death, good and evil. Therefore, choose life. Living epistles, living sacrifices. The key is on the living part. If Jesus Christ is the word, then you use words to write a letter. Jesus Christ, we use the word. He used his word to write, and we're supposed to be letters written on to the world, love letters. Catch that. Jesus Christ is the word. By the word, Father God ordained that we should be letters, living epistles. Epistle is a letter, living letters written to the world about the love of God. That's what the good news is. The good news is the bad news is we're in bondage. Most of us don't want to admit that. It's called sin. It's not a personal reflection on anybody. That's why all of this foolishness around us calling out other people's stuff, everybody's going to be held accountable for that. If you don't repent, then all of your stuff is going to be called out before God. It may not happen here. It may not happen where everybody can see it. But God is he knows what's happening. He knows everything at the same time. So all of these things about us calling out each other's sin is not only inappropriate, it is a manifestation of sin. He doesn't rate us that way. We're all on the same level. There aren't any grandchildren. There aren't any great-grandchildren. He had a only begotten who became the firstborn, and everybody else just falls in line behind that. And I don't mean a line like you're standing at the grocery store. It's all across humanity. Spirit of bondage. So he says, we're not, that's not where we are to live. All throughout the word, particularly in the New Testament, he's telling us, nope, this isn't, nope. I understand your situation. But I've also made, not only do I understand it, I saw it coming. I knew you were going to use what I gave you for your own purposes. But you are not full of life. Therefore, your choices, unless they are restored and renewed through your alignment with me, because God is life, God is light, God is love. So unless we align ourselves and purpose to live in that manner, even despite mistakes we might make along the way, he will continue to restore and renew and bring life through us. And not just through us, but also restore us and heal us and bring us to a place of peace and restoration in our own souls. Deliverance in the process. Our obedience, now mind you, it is obedience because we are agreeing with what he said. It's obedience, not because he's beating us down and saying, well, if you don't obey me, then X, Y, Z. He's saying that, but he's also saying, yeah, this is the principle, but it's your choice. So we have the answers to the test. Picture for a moment, going to any kind of class, and it happens all the time, don't deceive yourself, where students are looking for answers to the test. Why? Because they want to get a good grade. They want to pass the test, but they don't want to study. This is us in the spirit. I want all the answers to the test. I want the outcomes, but I don't want to take the test. I don't want to do the work. I don't want to go through the trial. I don't want to deal with people. I don't like people. This person is better than this person because I'm better than these people because I do this, but I don't do that. All of that is manifestation of sin. Manifestation of sin. But God has already said, the teacher, right, in and through Christ, Holy Spirit is the teacher, but it's the same Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, same Spirit. So the teacher is saying, look, follow me. I'm going to lead you into all truth. Life is truth. Truth is life. He's taught us the principles. We're in the class. We've memorized the book, but guess what? We don't know how to take the test. We think we do. And we think we can get life out of not being with the one who gives life. Let me put it that way. Not how it works. Not by any stretch. He's told us every single thing, provided himself in every part of the process. God the Father in creation, Jesus Christ in manifestation and demonstration, and the Holy Spirit in transformation. We are here to walk this thing out. To get it together, to be delivered, and by delivered, I don't mean a deliverance service. What I mean is that our entire walk, after we decide, make the choice to align ourselves with God, should be about seeking him and choosing to obey him, choosing to be led, so that all that he has done, not just promised, it's already completed work, so that all that he is promised, has promised, not just is manifest in through us, but in us. I am a miracle. I know that. I have a very clear understanding of the work of God in my life. Does that mean I don't make mistakes? Nope. Does that mean that every now and then I don't have to sit down somewhere because I don't know what the heck is going on? Nope. But I've learned some things. I do not take God for granted, although every day, and not although, and every day, most days. First of all, you'll hear me talking to him all day. If I'm by myself, I'm talking to him. Sometimes I'm talking to them when I'm talking to you. I'm listening, even if I'm not talking. I'm paying attention. And I didn't get here by accident. I had to choose, still have to choose every single day. Why? Because there's some days I'm just, okay, whatever. Just like you. So our walk with God doesn't make us superhuman. It doesn't make us superior. It doesn't do any of those things. What it does is it ensures that he is able to fulfill his word, what he did, prove his work through us. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, which means Father. Now, you go back and you look at the timing. First of all, Jesus is teaching it. So you know Jesus is teaching to the disciple what we call the Lord's Prayer. Never mind all that. We've memorized it, but we don't live it. So everything is an if-then proposition. If my people, if you pray this way, if you forgive, if you bless, God is not going to go back on himself. He's going to honor his word. So for those who do believe, there is abundant life, even in the earth, even in the vessel, earthen vessel, what I call in the earth, and then on the earth. Earth is the planet, world is the people. Earth is the planet, world is the people. So we are on the earth, but we are also in the earth, since the human body, the vessel, was created from clay or dirt or dust, the dust of the earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But within that, within the vessel, spirit, soul, which is what makes the transition. That's why accountability does not die with the body. That's why Jesus said, I have no place to lay my head. Why? Because he hadn't yet gone to the cross. The day of Pentecost was when the body began to be formed. Jesus was sowing seed for his body. So in the natural, yes, he may not have, there was no room in the inn when he got here. Babe in the manger. No, even Jesus had to come as a baby. So what do we think? We're going to go up into the kingdom of God as adults? No, we've got to go through the growth process. And we don't like that because many of us come in, our point of choosing or our point of ability in choosing comes much later or at least some point later than when we were infants and had to be, right? So we get to a certain age, we're able to make choices, but then we carry still a bentness in our decision-making, which leads us to believe that being born again means I can do whatever I want. Okay, I'm born again now. No, it doesn't. It means you have to, like Paul said, you're not ready for me. You got to drink milk. That's why he says, be careful what you do. It might be good for you. You might be okay with it because you're in a different part of your process, but don't do anything that's going to cause someone else to sin, to make the wrong decisions, to be tripped up because you don't know where they are in their walk. I'm getting a little bit off course, but it all goes together. Never really off course in the way that I might think about it or the way you might think about it because it all ties together. There are reasons we are told things the way that we are told them. And we're like, well, I don't care. I don't care if they can't take it or whatever. They should, whatever. Nope, not how it works in the kingdom. And God's holding you accountable for that. We're not supposed to be tripping each other up. We're supposed to be helping each other along. We were not given the spirit of bondage. We were delivered out of it. But in order to partake of that and to truly walk in that, we have to align ourselves with God, who is light, who is love, who has provided himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Who has provided himself even to the point of transformation, he tells us. Okay, you got to receive the Holy Spirit. Because without him, you can't do any of the stuff I told you. It's like we have a tutor. We have a personal tutor and more. Whatever a tutor is, multiply it by a million. That's Holy Spirit. At least a million, infinite. We have a personal tutor that's going to walk us through this thing while we're here to make sure that the word of God is upheld in and through us, and we still deny him. So going back where we can cry Abba, which means Father, Spirit of adoption. The only begotten became the firstborn. So Jesus says, I have no place to lay my head. What is he talking about? Yeah, he may not have had a place to sleep, but he hadn't gone to the cross yet. There was no body for him to place himself in or on or to work through the head. So then when you look at the quote-unquote Lord's Prayer, it's really kind of ironic because he's teaching them this before he goes to the cross. They weren't adopted yet. We weren't adopted yet. We are now. On this side of the cross, we're adopted. But we're not adopted just because there was a cross. Don't think that this is automatic. This is very much about engaging. And we like to talk about deep work and all of these things in psychology. You have deep work, this walk of faith, let me tell you, because it's going to touch your psychology, your personality, and everything else. And it's painful in many ways. There are moments, but once, as he says, that morning becomes joy, and you don't even know when it's going to happen. One day you just wake up and it's like, oh, I feel lighter. Hey, I'm not thinking about certain things the way I used to. I'm not even thinking about them. And you become conscious of that. So he taught us the Lord's Prayer. I'm saying us and the disciples pre-cross. He taught us the Lord's Prayer before we were ever even adopted. It's a prophetic word, but it's also a practical word. But the way we live that out is not by our own memorization. It's by the leading of the Spirit. And he prophesied over us, as he continues to do. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of prophecy. We are joint heirs, not because we chose that, but because he chose that. The only begotten became the firstborn by the Spirit of adoption, which allows us also then to say, Our Father. My name is Michelle. Thank you for joining me for this segment of Daily Bread with Jam at Holy Spirit You Channel podcast. I bless you. I love you. Agape. Bless you and yours. I ask the Lord to bless your time and to give it back to you in ways that you have not yet imagined, to be to you all that he is, as you continue to repent and to agree and to align yourself and to seek his face, understanding that the deliverance, the release, the relief, the joy, the peace, the love you seek is all found in him through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's already accounted for your struggle. He's accounted for each of our struggle. He made provision for us to be delivered out of it. All we have to do, easier said than done, is agree and choose him every single day. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.